South Korea toys with shutting down Bitcoin exchanges and a look at the Italian island that's reviving a 4,000-year-old financial system.
We were basically dreamers and visionaries in a moment of crisis.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Marie Keyworth in for Anu Anand. Good morning. South Korea isn't happy with Bitcoin's behaviour these days. The cryptocurrency's wild fluctuations continued over the Christmas period, and now South Korea's government is considering measures to curb its errant ways. One of the options on the table? Closing down some of the country's exchanges to protect the South Korean youth who have enthusiastically piled onto the Bitcoin bandwagon. I asked the BBC's Mariko Oi for more.
South Koreans seem to be really obsessed with Bitcoin. In fact, they account for 20% of global Bitcoin transactions when the country's GDP is only about 2% of the world economy. And that's why the authorities are a bit concerned about your everyday mum and pop investors.
And what has the South Korean government said on the matter?
Well, they've been saying that this volatility is abnormal, that they're looking into it. And of course, recently we had one of the cryptocurrency exchanges going bankrupt because the system was hacked for the second time.
Now, South Korea isn't the only country in Asia to have, we could say, some skepticism about the cryptocurrency. Vietnam's also cracked down, and things happening in Singapore as well.
Indeed, Vietnam was probably one of the first countries to ban the payment by Bitcoin altogether back in October. Singapore warned its investors that they could lose all of their money if anything goes wrong with Bitcoin. You have the Japanese central bank governor, Haruhiko Kuroda, also saying that they're not considering any measures to ban or anything like that just yet, but they are cautiously watching the currency as well.
And just for a bit of context, this is all with the backdrop of Bitcoin continuing to have a really wild ride, isn't it?
Indeed. Obviously, we've had the price rising by some, I think, 1,300% this year alone. But just after this announcement, or the possible announcement of a ban on in South Korea, we saw the prices fall 11% today alone. And now we're talking about 30% lower compared to the record high that it reached last week.
Mariko Oi in Singapore. Let's do the numbers. Bitcoin is now down by 4.5% to $14,505. Bucking that Bitcoin trend, South Korea's stock exchange closed up more than 1.2%, rising 31 points. Markets in Europe are mixed, with Spain's IBEX down 30 points or 0.3%. This week, you might have exchanged a Christmas present or two, but it's a different sort of exchange that's taken off on the rural Italian island of Sardinia. There, they've updated a system first created by the Babylonians more than 4,000 years ago for the 21st century. Called Sardex, the mutual credit system, as it's known, is transforming the way that local businesses interact. The BBC's Kim Gittleson reports.
Cagliari in Sardinia is a jumble of pink buildings and steep hills with well-worn cobblestones jutting out into the Mediterranean. Nearly 100 years ago, the English writer D.H. Lawrence described Sardinia as a place belonging to nowhere, left outside of time and history. But these days, the choice to remain outside of history, or at least financial history, is a deliberate one, made by an increasing number of the island's businesses.
We were basically dreamers and visionaries in a moment of crisis.
I met Giuseppe Laterra, one of the four co-founders of Sardex, in the tiny Sardinian town of Saramana.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Sardex is an online platform that marries financial insights from nearly 4,000 years ago with modern technology. It essentially allows businesses to trade with each other without using actual money. The four co-founders were inspired to start the platform in the wake of the financial crisis, which was particularly devastating in Saramana, where four people committed suicide after their businesses failed.
They had no relations whatsoever to what happened in Wall Street, but they were suffering from the consequences.
By encouraging businesses to essentially barter with each other, Sardex insulates them, which is one of the key reasons it might help those businesses withstand another global financial crisis, according to London School of Economics lecturer Paolo Dini.
Sardinia is a poor region of Italy. So in any economy like that, what a local currency does is what economists call import substitution. In other words, you buy locally, something that is not as good as you could have imported. If you're a weak economy, what this does is it gives you a local resilience.
Nearly 3,000 businesses now use Sardex in Sardinia. One of them is Agricola Campidanese, a farm cooperative in the tiny Sardinian town of Terra Alba.
As you see, we have a lot of eggplants here.
You have quite a few eggplants. You could make a lot of eggplant parmesan with that.
Yes.
Manager Marco Lotta says Sardex has helped them find new farmers, which helps stimulate not just economic activity, but agricultural production as well.
Sardinia does not grow. It grows less than it's consumed. This is our biggest deficit. Sardinia can grow. We have a lot of fields, as you see here, if growers start working together.
Today, nearly 100 million euros worth of goods and services are traded on Sardex each year. The technology has also been sold to 11 other regions in Italy, and the founders have received inquiries from places as far away as Ecuador and Indonesia. I asked Giuseppe if, looking back, he was surprised at the way that Sardex has taken off.
Yeah, we were so naive and crazy that we really thought that we had to give smaller companies and community on the island a chance. And by giving it to them, we were giving it to ourselves.
In Sardinia, I'm the BBC's Kim Gittleson for Marketplace.
Finally, in April, the UK had its first 24-hour period without using any coal power since the Industrial Revolution. A rise in renewables helped Britain break 13 clean energy records in 2017, making it the country's greenest year ever. In London, I'm Marie Keyworth in for Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.